Remember this, every miracle in the Bible began with a problem. Whenever Daniel solved a problem, a miracle followed, because every miracle comes from a problem. And God's looking for people with a spirit of excellence that aren't afraid of problems. These are the ones He uses as a vessel through which blessings come, a conduit of His greatest works, and that's where miracles begin. Did you catch that secret? Don't be afraid of problems.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Let me ask you this. Do you ever find yourself praying and asking God to take away your problems, remove all your aches and pains, solve your issues at work, give you plenty of money? Well, if He ever does that for you, please give us your secret, because a lot of us have been waiting for that one to happen. Today, Pastor Wayne will share some thoughts on what we can do while we're waiting for that answer to prayer. Here he is with a message entitled, Fixing Ourselves.
What's probably more important than what you do will be the spirit with which you do what you do. Your spirit, your demeanor, will determine everything about you. It's the most important aspect that you'll have, because it defines you. It defines your personality. It defines your attitude. And it may even determine your destiny. All throughout the Bible, the ones that were successful and fruitful had one thing in common. They were all men and women with an extraordinary spirit. There was one who was known for that more than anything else. His name? Daniel. Daniel was placed in the Bible as an example for each of us, and you'll find him in the middle of a dark nation called Babylon. Babylon had erased any acknowledgement of God, but yet God put Daniel right in the middle of it all. Daniel went through some of life's most challenging tests, and he passed with flying colors. His qualities were not only noble, but they were recognized by those around him. In fact, Daniel 5, 11 through 12, the wife of the king said this, "There is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him. Daniel was found to have an excellent spirit, knowledge and understanding, and had the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems." Daniel possessed such a high level of impressive qualities that others could predict the outcome with him in any situation. No matter what it was known that Daniel would come out a winner, because he had and exuded the spirit of the living God. There was a spirit of consistency in Daniel's life. And when this happens in our own lives, that's called a spirit of excellence. When we possess the spirit of excellence, God guards us and enables us to actually influence people around us, our families, even nations. Our spirit, your spirit, is the most important thing about you. It's more important than your past, more important than your money, your skills, your talents. You might not be able to choose your boss. You won't be able to choose your parents, your height, your ethnicity, but you can choose the kind of spirit you'll carry with you, the kind of spirit that you'll have, the kind of attitude that you're going to develop or not develop. What does the Bible call a mature and developed perspective on life? The Bible calls it a spirit of excellence. Why is it so important that we develop a spirit of excellence? Each of us will be faced with many tests in life. How will we come through those tests has much to do with the spirit you bring into the tests. You can tell a great deal about someone's life, can't you, by observing how they fare through the tests. Anyone can do well when the wind is at your back and everything is coming up roses. When everyone agrees with you and you're in control, it's pretty easy to fare well. But that's not what identifies you. Who you are is who you are when the chips are down. It's when the road is rough, when things aren't coming up roses, and you don't seem to be in control. That's where a spirit of excellence will be your greatest asset. Read with me this next passage. "Then Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he had an extraordinary spirit and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Do you see how important your spirit is? It was Daniel's extraordinary spirit that was the foundation that gave rise to all of the other qualities in his life. Let's take a brief moment to talk about some of the principles that we can learn from Daniel to help us develop that same kind of spirit of excellence. The first is this. You got to start with genuine, unpretentious character. No pretense. Daniel was a genuine person through and through, wasn't he? That was his character. It's transparent. A biblically formed character. He simply did not engage in anything unless it had God's stamp of approval. You see, we'll always have opportunities to compromise, and no one may notice. We can outwit the public and nobody will ever find out. But Daniel said, it doesn't matter if the public knows or doesn't know. I do what I do for an audience of one. For Daniel, the deciding factor wasn't whether or not others would find out. It was whether or not it was righteous before God. See, that was the hallmark of that spirit of excellence that Daniel possessed. Can I encourage you, let your starting point always be one of genuine character, moral excellence. Daniel's character, his virtue, was based on a higher deciding factor, not on what people saw or what people thought. No, it was based on the righteousness of God. There's a virtue there. Regardless if people recognize it or whether or not you get rewarded for it, it doesn't matter. It's about something on the inside. It is a sense of foundation principled within your heart. And it sure simplifies things, doesn't it? When you do things because it's right, period. Daniel decided that in every action, he was going to honor God. That sure simplifies life when the bottom line is just simply doing what is biblical and what would please the heart of God. Let me ask you, how are you doing in this area? Stay true to what delights the heart of God, and your life will get simpler and clearer. Let me go to the second principle. That is this, to commune with God, and here's the word, daily. Commune with God. No, not annually. Not on Sundays, daily. Daniel learned to feed himself on the words of the Lord even while he was yet young. This enabled him to stand on his own spiritually, and that's a maturity that will pay huge dividends for the rest of your life. Our Heavenly Father knows that each of us will have to be weaned and learn to stand on our own. We can't rely on other people to feed us or carry us for the rest of our lives. And Daniel, while being young, had to spiritually stand on his own, on the Word of God and on his faith. So he had to build that. Well, how do you do that? It's feeding yourself with God's Word. And when you do, it'll pay huge dividends when things get challenging and when the road gets rough, when the wind is against you. You see, here's the toughest thing about developing a spirit of excellence. There's going to be seasons in your life and in mine when following God won't be easy. It won't even be fun. No, because God will sometimes ask us to do things that are tough, but are right, to go against the stream, go against the current. But you got to catch this principle. Keep practicing, here it is, spending time with God daily until it becomes natural, becomes an inherent part of your life. It's not something forced or coerced or someone has to push you. It becomes something you do. It's natural. It'll become second nature if you keep at it. And the key is to keep training until it becomes genuine and authentic about you. That's why it's so important to do our devotions and sit at the feet of our divine mentor on a daily basis. All of my life, I've been beating the drum about the importance of doing daily devotions and using the Life Journal reading plan. One of the things that will bring you the greatest amount of fruitfulness in your life is not what you do annually What will bring the greatest fruit is not what you do monthly, it's what you do how often? Daily. Develop a regimen of things you do daily. That's going to be important. For example, do you think it would make a difference in your life if you ate monthly only? What about annually? No, you'd be dead by then. Or what about just weekly? No. What if you brushed your teeth just monthly? You wouldn't have any friends. Yeah, it'd make a difference, wouldn't it? Absolutely. Almost everything we do will have a huge difference if it's done daily. And the same thing is true with something we call wisdom. You have to develop and garner wisdom along the way daily. You won't get it if you go to a seminar once a year and then you'll get all the wisdom you need. No, wisdom will not be built in a day, but it will be built daily. And if you don't do it now, you won't have it in the future. So how do you get wisdom? You get it daily. Let me unpack the word daily for you. It's one of the words that come from the same root as daylight. And it's cousins to the word duration or even diligence. Let me give you some background. Let's take a look at the word daily, as I was talking about, D-A-I-L-Y, daily, and the word daylight, D-A-Y-L-I-G-H-T, and see how these are comparatively the same. In the ancient days, let's say this was a circular city with a gate here. Many times the people would actually build their houses along the wall as they did in Nehemiah's day and other times. And this gate would be closed at night. But radiating out from the city would be people's parcels or plots of land where they would actually farm. They would grow vegetables or corn or whatever, and everyone would be given a plot of land or purchase a plot of land, but it would be outside the gate, not inside. This was for living. This was for agrarian purposes, agricultural purposes. Now, there would be a city square here often where people would bring in their corn and they would set up a stand here. Or this might be lettuce or this might be apples or whatever. And people would come out and actually purchase vegetables and items for their daily meals. Now, when someone would harvest, let's say a little bit of corn, the ones that would get the best spot in the city square would be those who got there right at daylight, early in the morning. If you came at mid-morning or at noon, it would be packed with other vendors already who had gotten there at daylight, and you slept till noon. So you had to take leftover space, but the prime spaces were taken by those who got up at daylight. Not only did they get there at daylight, these would get the most sales, they would do it not once a week, not once a month, they would get there how often? Daily. They would do it at daylight and they would do it daily. And the ones that got the most profit from their vegetables or their apples or whatever they're selling is not only those who got there at daylight and did it daily. Here's another word. You might not be able to see it that well, but there was a duration. They stayed there longer than everybody else. Somebody else would come, let's say, at 10 in the morning and go home at 1 in the afternoons. In the afternoon, these people would stay maybe till 3 or 4. Their duration would have been longer. They got there at daylight. They did it daily. Their duration was better or lasted longer. These were the ones that made the most. These are the ones that profited the most. And you know what they called that? The combination of these words is the word diligence. It comes from a combination of these words from this ancient picture. And that's what we're talking about. When you do something daily, you become a person with a spirit of excellence or a spirit of diligence. So that's what I do daily, my devotions. And I do them early in the morning at daylight. Because if I don't do it in the morning, probably in most cases, it won't get done. Doesn't the day have a habit of crowding in with the most urgent and pushing out what's most important? Do it daily, at daylight. It'll pay huge dividends, I promise. The third principle is to be comfortable with your faith. Well, Daniel was. Let me ask you, how comfortable are you really with your faith, who you are? Are you open about your identity as a Christian, or is it something that makes you feel uncomfortable and you've got to hide it? It's got to be sort of under the surface, private. Though he lived in a hostile country, one of the things that often persecuted Christians was having a faith that they lived out loud. But not Daniel. Daniel was very comfortable with his faith. He practiced it naturally. He prayed 3 times a day from his room with his windows open so people could see. Even though they didn't endorse Christianity, in fact, it was persecuted, but it didn't matter to Daniel. He was comfortable with his faith. He gave God headline credit whenever he interpreted any of the king's mysterious dreams or gave insightful counsel. Daniel was comfortable with sharing his faith openly and giving God the glory. I think that came from practice. It came from discipline, didn't it? Now listen to this scripture. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. I have a friend named Michael. He was like that. His life with Christ was so natural. And it was uncontrived, unpretentious. In fact, we were in a restaurant one day, and the waitress came up, and he looked up at her and just said, "What do you want to do? Is this where you want to be a waitress?" She said, "Oh, no." Now, Michael didn't know this lady at all, but he has a very natural conversation with her. So he said, "What would you like to do?" She said, "My dream is to be a nurse. I'm going to school part-time now, but waitressing helps me pay some bills." He looked at her and he said, "Can I pray for you that God will open the doors for that dream to come to pass?" I'm sitting there. Now, we're in a busy restaurant, and I'm thinking in my mind, "Michael, this is a restaurant. It's not a church." But she said, "I'd like that." He grabs her hand. I mean, you could have prayed just grabbing your own hand, but he grabs her hand and starts praying with her. "Lord," he says, "we pray that you'll open the door to this dream." And I'm somewhat almost embarrassed now. I'm thinking, I'm the pastor and he's a layperson, but he's just going for it. And so I close my eyes just in respect. And when I open them, when he's done with his prayer, big tears are flowing down this young lady's face, almost as if that's what she needed the most that day. And he said, "I'll continue to pray for you because God's going to make you a great nurse. You watch." Now, till this day, I don't know if she's a Christian, but I tell you, that influenced her. But it wasn't something contrived. It was so natural, and ministry took place, and somebody's life was probably changed for an eternity because Michael lived his faith naturally. Every single day, place your day before God. Place it before Him as an offering. Make every day for God so that after a while it becomes your default system. It becomes just who you are, and you'll gain a sense of confidence about you. And finally, the last principle is this: learn to navigate problems with wisdom. No matter how bad the problem may be, God can predict a favorable outcome if we've developed a spirit of excellence. Remember this: every miracle in the Bible began with a problem. Whenever Daniel solved a problem, a miracle followed, because every miracle comes from a problem. And God's looking for people with a spirit of excellence that aren't afraid of problems. These are the ones he uses as a vessel through which blessings come, a conduit of his greatest works, and that's where miracles begin. Did you catch that secret? Don't be afraid of problems. How often we circumvent them, we're afraid, we want to avoid them at every cost, any cost, but they're the seeds of miracles. Life is not about my comfort. If it were, then every problem would be a hassle, wouldn't it? Be a roadblock, something to avoid or run from, make excuses about, or blame somebody else. Live for something far greater than your own comfort and your own desires. Because when you live for something greater, everything will change. I remember in 2005, the effects of Hurricane Katrina. Some of you remember that. It caused widespread flooding and massive damage in the city of New Orleans. In fact, 80% of that city was underwater, and people were actually chopping their way through their roofs to survive. Over 1,400 people lost their lives when several of the levees failed. One of the relief efforts to raise money for this disaster was a telethon, I remember, hosted by some of the most notable celebrities such as Robin Williams and Whoopi Goldberg, Billy Crystal, and others. But I noticed something on that set. Although they were all famous celebrities, none of them were vying for camera time. No one was trying to get the mic. In fact, I saw Whoopi Goldberg get up and she was passing out pizza. Another would get water and ask the guests if they wanted water. Some other celebrities were setting up tables. And I thought for a second there, I thought, you know, those celebrities, they all became equals and servants because something greater was at hand, a cause bigger than themselves. And when they understood that, they were not concerned about lights or ratings or attendance figures, but rather they were concerned about helping people caught in a disaster. And I was thinking, the same can be true with us. If we are about something greater, self diminishes and we all become servants. Colossians 3:22 reminds us of that. Read it with me. Set your mind on things above and not on the things that are on earth. You see, if your comfort in life is your highest goal or your greatest cause, you'll only end up serving yourself. But if you live for a cause greater than yourself, you'll begin to see how the self just melts away. And we all become transformed as servants of a greater cause. And when we become transformed more and more into this image, watch and see. See what God does. What kinds of people we become. We'll become the people that inherit the promises of God. You'll start to develop a spirit of excellence because you see things differently. And that only happens when we live for a cause greater than ourselves. Then that's when the church will rise in all her glory and people will see how wonderful our Savior really is.
You've just heard a message entitled Fixing Ourselves by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Please keep in mind, you can listen to Words of New Hope anytime, 24/7. Just go to Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R, Spreaker.com, and search on Words of New Hope. Now for Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope Christian Fellowship, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.